Our theme this year at school is Serving the Lord, and today I'd like to speak to you about serving the Lord through prayer. Today my topic is specifically personal reflections on prayer. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear God, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak to each heart and meet each need today as I just share some personal stories about prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. It's always good to begin with a definition about prayer. Our theology notes say that prayer is the believer's communion with God in which we present our request to God in accordance with His will. The verse that we meditated on today, "Hear my prayer, O God." The psalmist is addressing God and he's speaking his words of request to the Lord. Another favorite verse of mine, Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." God will hear our voice in prayer if we pray according to His will. And notice, just like the psalmist mentioned, he should be praying continually throughout the day. Paul in the New Testament says, "Praying always in the Spirit, continue in prayer with thanksgiving, and pray without ceasing." I would like to just share some things that have defined prayer for me. And some good books on prayer that have meant a lot to me are, first of all, by Lehman Strauss, the book, "When It Does Not Make Sense to Pray." Now, you might say, it always makes sense to pray. Well, yes, it does. But like Dr. Anderson said last hour, we have to obey biblical principles in order to have our prayers heard. So that's a great little book in our library. Another one by E.M. Bounds, a very small little book, "Power Through Prayer." And what motivated me to pray from that book is the examples of people throughout church history who spent many hours in prayer, sometimes even every day. And then a book by Peter Daneka, and I'll mention more about him later. It's called "Much Prayer, Much Power." And he was a fellow from Russia who came over here to America and got saved and started a mission to reach people in Russia. Of course, I've had good examples all through my life on being an effective prayer warrior. Dr. Pipkin, who was our founder, when I was just a little boy, I would gather here with the campus for different prayer meetings, and he would always say amen whenever he would agree with something that you prayed. Etta Schneider is the lady that led my dad to the Lord, and she prayed faithfully for ABC for 60 years. She passed away just this last spring, and I lost a wonderful prayer warrior behind me in my life. Dr. Stuart Custer, a teacher of mine in college and seminary, had great respect for him. I once asked him, "What is your message preparation process?" And he said, "I pray, and I pray, and I pray." And of course, I've mentioned Peter Daneka. Dr. John Vaughn, my pastor while I was in grad school, he spent the better part of a year in one of the evening services speaking about prayer. And of course, Dr. Dan Anderson, who has kept vibrant before my life the importance of prayer. And of course, my own father, Dr. Joseph Pinter, my favorite part of my dad's theology notes, which we use here at the campus, is the section on prayer. And he has been a wonderful example of prayer throughout the years. Dr. Pipkin, he not only prayed wonderful prayers himself. When I was a little child, I didn't have a very big vocabulary, but Dr. Pipkin had this huge vocabulary, and as he would beseech the Lord on the throne of heaven, it was just wonderful to pray along with him. Here's Etta Schneider, the lady that led my dad to the Lord. In 2008, we gave her the Honorary Alumnus of the Year Award for ABC. In fact, she knew Dr. Pipkin even before he came to ABC. She knew him when he was over at Southland Bible Institute in Wolf Pit, Kentucky. And so she prayed for ABC throughout the years. And here's Peter Daneka and his wife Vera. And he was asked to write this book because he was known as a man of prayer. Much prayer, much power. And of course, Dr. Anderson's message last hour on Nehemiah. What a wonderful exposition explaining about Nehemiah as a tremendous prayer warrior. So I'm just going to share some stories about prayer today. My first point was a prayer defined. And now the second point that I'd like to share with you, a prayer answered assuredly. Romans 10:13 says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I came here to ABC with my family when I was just a little boy. My parents served here faithfully for 40 years before they retired. But one prayer I'm sure God heard, and that's the prayer when I prayed to be saved. Here's a little house we lived in down in Bradley when we first got here. And here's where I was saved, at this little couch, at this house in Bradley. And each night, my parents, from the earliest years, would have me pray before I'd go to bed. And one night I asked my mom, what do I have to do to make sure I'm going to go to heaven? And she explained, I just need to put my faith in Jesus for forgiveness for my sins, and I could be saved. And this picture on the right, according to the date on the photograph, would be the earliest picture I have after I got saved. My dad asked me to come forward in the church that next Sunday morning and give a testimony. He was working as a preacher also at a little coal mining town called Stotesbury. And I remember standing in front of that little church in that community where one of our former senators grew up, and I gave my testimony that I'd asked Jesus to come into my heart. Now, actually, you might say I had an answer to prayer even before I got saved, because I do remember in Philadelphia, before we came here, I prayed for a little brother, and that's my little brother John, who was born. The third point of my message is a prayer for a relative's salvation. You know, a lot of us have prayed for our relatives to be saved, and that's a good biblical prayer too. Romans 10:1 says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We prayed for my grandmother, Anna Pinter, for many years before she came to know the Lord. Here she is at over 100 years of age when she was living with us here in Beckley. But she didn't get saved till she was in her 80s. And she's there in the middle of the picture. My dad was saved at age 14. He witnessed to grandmother before, especially before he went off to college. And through the years, we prayed for grandmother. I think my dad prayed for her for 40 years before she finally came to know the Lord. She was watching television, and an evangelist was giving a good, clear gospel presentation, and she got saved. Fourthly, a prayer for healing. This is a good prayer request to make. James says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And I'd like to share how God healed my brother, John. It was some years ago on an Easter Sunday weekend that my sister-in-law, Jane, noticed that John was disoriented and he was having some difficulties. And she took him to the hospital in Medina, Ohio. And then they transferred him over to a better hospital in Akron, Ohio. And my parents called, and they were very discouraged, and they said, your brother John has had a brain aneurysm, and he's in the hospital. We all went over there to see my brother. And before I left, I sent out a prayer request to as many pastors and friends as I knew, saying, please pray for my brother. At that time, in medical history, only 25% of people survived a brain aneurysm, a leaking in an artery or a vessel in the brain. And those who would actually be able to live a normal life after that was reduced to something like 5%, I think, in the medical books. Well, this verse says to call the elders, to pray over him, and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. When I was in seminary, I was listening to one of my favorite Bible scholars on the radio, and he explained that they used oil in Bible times for medicinal purposes. So what this verse is really saying is, first, pray to the Lord, but then seek the proper medical help for people who are sick. And John received just the right medical help from the very time the people arrived at the home to take him to the hospital. And there at the hospital, he had three children at the time. And the doctor came into the room, and I spoke with him, and he had a smile on his face, and he said, I think the prognosis is very good for your brother's recovery. He said, your brother has had a wonderful attitude through this whole time. And that has really helped him. If he would have been really stressed out, it would have hindered his ability to do so well. And I remember there in the hospital, my brother was just telling us, if I do not survive this, I am satisfied. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm saved. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to Christian schools. I have a fine family, wonderful Christian wife. And whatever God wants, that is fine. And, of course, this is a picture when my brother was recovering. He made a good recovery. The doctor said if he could go for about a decade without having any recurrence of this problem, he'd probably be able to live out a normal life. We thank the Lord for hearing our prayers and raising my brother up. Even in the last year or so, someone came up to my father and said, I remember praying for your younger son. How is he doing? And so he was able to share that John is doing fine. He has now 8 children and 2 sons-in-law that you see in the back. And as of this month, a number of days ago, he now has a little granddaughter, Janessa Joy. And the next point, 5th, a prayer for the harvest. Of course, we're having this week of prayer right before Missions Conference, and ABC has always been noted for praying for laborers to go forth into the harvest field. That's another good prayer. The verse we memorized last year from Colossians 4:3-4, Paul says, praying for an open door of utterance so that we can speak the mystery of Christ. When I was here as a student at ABC, at a missions conference time, the fellow on the right in this picture, David, came and had a workshop out in the classroom where I teach. He was talking about a mission to Russia. And here you see some of the people at that mission who were preparing biblical literature for people over in Russia. And he explained that Russia is under militant atheistic communism. It was at that time. And he said to be praying for those folks. Well, I went on to seminary. And another representative from the mission came to the seminary. He had served on our board here at ABC in the past. And I said, why are you here at seminary? You can't really recruit men to go to Russia as missionaries because they're under communistic atheism. And he said, I'm just looking for a VIP this week. And he explained that that meant a volunteer in partnership, someone to have prayer groups on campus for the people over in Russia. So I said, I'll be praying with you about that. And so later in the week, I like to see if my prayers are answered, and I check back with him, and I said, have you found anybody? And he said, no. Would you like to be that person? And I said, okay, I'd be happy to do that. So I would have prayer groups on campus explaining about the conditions over in Russia. And at the time, we knew of about over 100 Baptist pastors and summer Bible camp workers who had been put in prisons or sent to concentration camps in the former Soviet Union because of trying to share the gospel. Well, it was time for me to graduate, and the theme verse of that mission was Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And I asked them if they might need my help, and they said, we would love to have you come up and do an internship with us. And so I went up there, and this is where I got to know Peter Danica. Now, on the left, you see Peter in his younger years, and on the right, this is how I remember him, as he would come and preach at the mission. We would have a prayer chapel each morning, and he would preach, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. And, of course, he had a thick Russian accent, but he would tell us that. Well, I came back to my home area here and raised up money to do a full 6 months internship. And here is the missions conference that we had at the church I now attend, Beckley Regular Baptist Church. We focused on Eastern Europe. And they had set up a little display where our piano now is at the church, showing a Russian prisoner kneeling by a cot in a prison cell with some pages from a Bible. The Lord helped me to raise up my money in a good time, and I went up to the mission. And the first day that I was up at this mission, I noticed that in the church parking lot, there was a float from perhaps a July 4th parade they had that day. And it was a float about David and Goliath. And there was Goliath flat on his back on that float. And the subtitle under it was, A Kid's Dream Come True. And that inspired me to no end. I thought, Lord, wouldn't it be wonderful if while I was here working at this mission, just doing my part, if you would indeed do great and mighty things, and if the Goliath of communism would come down in Russia. This is our morning prayer chapel that we would have, and you can see David. He's in the second row back there. And we would pray from 8:30 to 9 in the mornings. One of my first requests was for a place to stay during that 6 months, and some folks were wanting to go out west for the winter, and so they let me have their house for the winter, rent-free. All I had to do is take care of their pet bird, a parrot named Jocko. The fellow was a real estate person, and so he was used to answering the phone, and the parrot would kind of imitate that. Hello, hello. Go buy it, you know. Well, eventually, Peter Daneka had to go into a nursing home in the area, and the family asked me to go and visit with him. We had some wonderful times of prayer together, and this is where I really got to know him. Prayer was more than something that he said. This was really his life, and we had some wonderful times of prayer together. And one day I told him, the mission wants me to go over to Russia to see what it's really like over there. And he said, well, when you go over to Moscow Baptist Church, please give them greetings for me, Peter Daneka. So I challenged the people one day about Jeremiah 33:3, think big, pray big, God can do great and mighty things. And I went over to Russia as a tourist, not telling them that I was a missionary. My supervisor said, don't even act like you know me on this trip. And there's St. Basil's Cathedral in Red Square in the Kremlin area. We went to Moscow Baptist Church, and you will notice that there's mostly just elderly ladies in the church service there on the main floor. I took this picture from the balcony. Why are there only elderly ladies in the church? It's because under communism or socialism, everybody's employed by the government. And if you have a communistic, atheistic government, they would cause a Christian man to lose his job if he were caught attending church. In fact, it was actually against the law for young people under age 18 to attend church in the Soviet Union at that time. In fact, this was the only officially legally allowed church in all of Moscow with millions of people. Well, I wanted to be true to my word, so after the service, the tall gentleman that you see there had sung a solo during the service, so I went up to him and I said, Peter Daneka sends his greetings. And the man's face lit up with a smile. He gathered us back for a picture. And our tour group are in the picture there. And it was just wonderful to go halfway around the world and meet somebody who knew us. Now I want to tell you the story about Vladimir from the Ukraine. This is one of the greatest answers to prayer that I have ever seen. Vladimir was a very well-known evangelist, and the government didn't like it, and they put him in a psychiatric hospital. They forged his name on the papers of someone who had a psychiatric problem, and they put him in there, and they treated him with mind-altering drugs, and they told him he would never get out of there alive. They even knocked out some of his teeth. You may see he has some gold teeth that were replaced there in the front. When his wife went to visit him, she didn't even recognize him in the psychiatric hospital. Well, before I left Russia, I was in a shop, and I saw one of these Matryoshka dolls. And I picked it up and brought it back here to America, and when I opened it up, I found out that it had 15 inside of it. And as I would go around on my deputation to raise my full support to go with the mission, I would oftentimes have chance to speak to children's Sunday school classes, and they just loved this. You know, as I kept opening it up, I would say, do you think there's another one in there? They say, yes, yes. And, you know, you can see the smallest one there, right, in this picture. Well, Vladimir had about 15 people in his family beside himself. He had about 11 children. Some of them were married. One day, I was looking through a paper in Chicago, and I noticed that Vladimir Kylo and his family had arrived from the Ukraine and were at the O'Hare Airport, and that he would be preaching that evening at a Ukrainian Baptist church. So I went over there, and it was just such a privilege to meet Vladimir Kylo. And his family was just so happy to be free here in America. That's one of the greatest answers to prayer I have ever seen. But that's not the only one. Here's a young lady named Irina. She was a Christian poet in Russia. And the communists are always threatened by anyone who has any kind of talent, and especially a Christian who could write poetry. They put her in a solitary isolation cell, I believe in Siberia somewhere, small, dark cell, just giving her barely enough food to stay alive. And I remember when I was over in Virginia at the church of one of our board members here at ABC through the years, and I specifically asked them, pray for Irina. She's suffering, and she's just a wonderful Christian poet. One day, she showed up on my doorstep, literally, there in Chicago at the house where I was staying. In fact, I had her sign my Bible. And right up here at the top of the page, above other folks who signed my Bible, like J. Dwight Pentecost, Charles Ryrie, John Walvoord, and other of my favorite teachers, Robert Leitner, her name is right up in the corner, right here, Irina. And then she wrote beside it, "Thanks, God." This is just one, again, a tremendous answer to prayer that I saw. So we can be praying for the harvest. As it turned out, the Iron Curtain fell, and we were able to take Bibles and start Bible schools over in Russia. And my next point is a prayer for higher education. And I believe that's point six, is it? Point six, a prayer for higher education. And I'm going to relate this verse to it. Hebrews 13:3, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." When you think about that verse, what it's saying is, do you know a Christian who's in prison somewhere? You ought to identify with them and pray for them. And you remember seeing that lovely house where I was able to stay. I remember one Friday night, God just impressed upon my heart, you know? You really ought to pray for these people over in Russia. And I just spent the whole night praying for all the people on this prayer list. One of the few times, if ever, that I've spent the whole night in prayer. And I wrote down the date when each person had been put in prison. And then I wrote down later the date when each of these people was released from prison. Now, some of them were released through death. They didn't survive their 3 to 5 year prison sentence. But this verse says we ought to remember the others. And I was getting ready now to go on to seminary for my doctoral work. And by this time, things were so open that we could actually mail Bibles over to the former Soviet Union. So I asked the little vacation Bible school class up here at the church where I attended, "Why don't you have the children save up their pennies and we'll send some Bibles over there?" They saved up $160 worth of pennies. How many pennies is that? 16,000 if they were all pennies. But we sent a study Bible. Here's a copy of a study Bible that was translated into Russian. A Russian hymn book, somebody had requested that. A children's New Testament that had pictures in it. A hymn book, a Russian hymn book. And I sent these off, and I really hadn't anticipated what would happen. I started getting thank you letters from the former Soviet Union. And this one man, I'll never forget, he wrote in his letter, "Thank you, brother. May God bless you 100 times over for what you have done." Well, here is the fellow who, by the way, translated those study notes in the study Bible. His name is Platon. And in the background, you can see the former Soviet Union stretched over 11 or 12 time zones halfway around the world. And here's a picture of the page from that study Bible in Genesis 1. Well, if God would answer that fellow's prayer to bless me 100 times over for the $160 that we got together to send Bibles to Russia, how much is 100 times $160? Can you figure that out with your math? It's $16,000. You know, when I figured up all the expenses that God had helped me to save on and provide for me to get my doctoral degree, I counted up $16,000 that I did not have to pay for my doctoral program. I got a tremendous reduction in tuition. It was just during that 1 year, it was a special deal where I was only paying a tenth of the tuition of everyone else. And I also got free housing each year while I was there in seminary. The student services office helped me to find free housing. And there were other ways that God helped me to save. And God answered that prayer. So a prayer for higher education. And next, a prayer answered unexpectedly. When I went to seminary, I had a computer from Radio Shack, and it was a Tandy computer, and I needed a better quality one. So I was praying that the Lord would help me to be able to save up my money to buy a computer. Well, Romans 8:26 is one of my favorite verses about prayer. Because really what it says is, you can't go wrong when you pray. It says, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us. And He does so according to the will of God. here's that computer that I had, and I really needed a Macintosh computer because that's what they had the software for, to get your footnotes in shape and to be in the right format for your doctoral dissertation. One day, I was in a hurry to go over to a friend's house and to see his Macintosh computer. As I went through this intersection I would normally go through, the light turned yellow. Unfortunately, a car that was sitting in the intersection decided to turn in front of me. And unfortunately, his car stalled out directly under the yellow light. I put on my brakes and slid a long distance, somewhat downhill, and of course, I ended up playing bumper cars with him. Fortunately, there was not anybody in the passenger side. The front of my orange Toyota looked like an accordion. And if I would have tried to trade in my car, my Toyota Corolla, I'm sure I couldn't have only gotten $200 or $500 for it. The Subaru that you saw earlier there by the float, I did have to trade that in Chicago because it could not keep the ice off the windshield in the wintertime. And I got this orange Toyota. Well, guess what? The insurance company gave me $2,000 for my wrecked vehicle. Just the amount at that time that I needed to buy this little Macintosh PowerBook 145 and the printer to go with it so that I could finish my dissertation. God answered my prayer in an unexpected way. Now you might say, but what did you do about a car? Well, my dad was thinking about buying a new car, and so he gave me his gold Toyota. And that's what I started teaching with here at ABC, that little gold Toyota. If we just pray the best we know how, according to God's will, even though we're not praying exactly correctly, the Spirit can present that request before the throne according to the will of God. Maybe you've noticed that I've had a bit of a chiastic structure to the points here today. My last point is a prayer described. A prayer described. Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, "Delight thyself in the Lord, commit your way unto Him, and He will bring it to pass." This was one of the favorite Psalms of Etta Schneider, our faithful prayer warrior through the years. She would oftentimes say on the phone, "Fret not, trust in, delight in, commit thy way to the Lord, and He shall bring it to pass." This verse is really a promise from God. All we have to do is just commit our way to God, and He will bring it to pass. He will do it. We've seen many answers to prayer as we travel with the Gospel Heralds during the summer. Just this last summer, we realized we needed new rotors, and we didn't understand that we actually needed a couple of tires that were worn through to the lower part of the tread, which were ready to blow out. But we prayed that morning, "Lord, help us to find a place to get the van repaired." And guess where we ended up that evening? We had a day off for the next day right at a motel, and we were able to get the van fixed at a Firestone shop just right next by. The Gospel Heralds and other ministry teams here at school see prayers answered continuously. So I did alliterate some lessons that we can learn from these different stories I've shared with you today. A prayer defined. Continuous prayer ought to be the pattern of our life. A prayer answered, assuredly. We should make sure that we put priority on the fact that we need to pray and ask God for the salvation of our souls. I hope everyone in this room today has asked Jesus to come into your heart so you can have a home in heaven. A prayer for salvation. We need persistence in prayer. It took 40 years before we saw my grandmother come to know the Lord. A prayer for healing. Sometimes you need partners in prayer. And we got many partners to join with us to pray for my brother when he was ill. Plenty of prayer for the harvest. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Plenty of prayer, and God opened up the former Soviet Union for the harvest. Prayer for education. We need passion in prayer. Didn't that sound passionate when that man was saying, "Brother, may the Lord bless you 100 times over for the Bible that you've sent to me." I'll tell you what, when I was in my doctoral program, I needed plenty of passion in prayer to finish that education program, and passion with regard to our prayers for education, and then a prayer answered unexpectedly. God can provide in unexpected ways as we pray. And finally, the promise of prayer. If we just commit our way to Him, He will do it. Now, you might say, have you ever had any disappointments in prayer? Seen a prayer go unanswered? I gave you one of the pages from my prayer list. I have a daily prayer list. I was happy to see in a little book by Ironside, H.A. Ironside, that he advocated using a prayer list. And I hope that you will be challenged to pray every day for government leaders. But there's one prayer request I've had in my daily prayer list for longer than most of you have been living. I have been praying that the Lord would somehow protect innocent life here in America. And someone put at the top of the hill here last spring 3,700 crosses around this sign to remind us that every day almost 4,000 babies in America are killed by abortion. All through the years, I've prayed that God would protect these little innocent lives, and now over 50 million babies have been killed here in America by abortion. So I want to encourage you, maybe the Lord is having me speak today so that you will daily pray for our government. As I understand from what one pro-life organization said, really life is on the line in this coming election. Now, because of the way they have passed laws, your tax dollars are actually going to go to insurance companies which will provide abortions. And so let's earnestly pray. In fact, the bottom caption on that little advertisement from the pro-life organization said, pray, vote like your life depends on it, because it does. Yesterday, as we were reading the Daily Bread devotional at our home in our prayer time, I think the last line in the little devotional said, pray like your life depends on it, because it does. Well, my prayer for you is that you will indeed serve the Lord through prayer. May God hear your prayer and give ear to the words of your mouth. Let's close in prayer. Dear God, I thank you for these students, and I pray, Lord, that you will indeed hear our prayers. Lord, we earnestly pray that you would protect these innocent human lives in America. We pray that you will give us good government leaders. And Lord, we think of our missions conference next week, and we pray, Lord, that you would send forth laborers into the harvest fields. We pray all this, thanking you for all your many blessings and answers to prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.